adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Indeed it is. However, it's just Dr. Drew tonight. Welcome to Loveline. The phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. This is one of those freeing and lovely evenings when I get to be by myself. Adam will be back tomorrow night. And then he's off to Europe for some kind of crazy car show, and he'll be gone a couple more days, and Stryker will be in here in his absence. But, as I like to do, let's get right to the calls. Here we go. This is Max, who is 22. Max.
Hey, what's up, boy?
Hey, Max, what's going on?
Hey, am I still on?
You're on right now, yeah.
Okay, I've been collaborating and institutionalizing myself again so that I do not cuss on air.
Good. I appreciate that.
So what's the question you got to ask me before I ask you mine?
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have any questions there, Max. Go right to it.
What is the process we go through here?
You're on the air, and you ask me a question.
Okay, this is my question. Is it wrong for a man or a woman, both, to, propagate their instinctual nature of fantasizing or looking at the opposite sex and fantasizing about these things healthily?
Even when you're in a
marriage, a commitment.
Fantasy is harmless, all right? It's cool.
No.
And it's in your nature, Max.
Yes, I know that.
That's right.
I study psychology.
I can tell.
That's why I told you that the girl that talked about psychopathology earlier was totally wrong.
Okay.
He's not even black.
Freud, and I am a Freudian.
All right, Max. So I should get rid of him? Anderson?
He's not black. That's all I know.
All right. How do you know that?
Because, I mean, he's such a bad white guy doing a black guy.
All right. Fair enough. Let's keep going. This is Amanda 21. Amanda?
Hi.
What's up?
I had a question.
Yeah.
I had a baby in April, and he died at 4 days old.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
I was wondering. I had a C-section.
How long ago did this happen?
Excuse me?
How long ago did this happen?
It was April 2nd of this year.
Wow.
He died on the 5th. He was born the 2nd and died the 5th.
What happened?
We believe that the hospital made a hole in his lung by, you know, when they bag them.
Yeah, but that's pretty easy to overcome.
The hospital that he was born at did not treat him. They let him lay there with no oxygen or anything. I understand that the standard procedure is to put a chest tube in.
Sometimes, but that's not, you know, unless it was a tension pneumothorax.
Well, they didn't, they never told my husband and I anything about him. Nothing. They never told us anything. We did not find out there was anything wrong with him until the next day when he was being transferred to UCLA. And even then, the hospital he was born at didn't even tell us. They had the UCLA doctor tell us.
That what? What did they tell you?
Okay, he had a heart attack there at the hospital he was born at. And the doctor told us that she doubted that he was going to survive, that the helicopter ride to UCLA. She said that he would have to be on ECMO. She told us that it was a life support for babies,
right, extra,
that it was a, you know, it was a last resort. It wasn't really a treatment.
Yeah. But none of this is making sense. You got to find out what happened.
Well, we are. We're having to investigate. Actually, the Department of Health Services actually already been investigating. They already found out that our patient rights were violated because they did not tell us what was wrong with the baby.
But it sounds like you still don't know what happened.
Well,
and that's,
yeah,
maybe you didn't really,
much.
Maybe they were telling you, but you didn't understand because you're...
Well,
you're...
no, see, the doctor, they never told us anything. The doctors, the pediatricians, nobody at the hospital he was born at ever told us anything about the baby. They told us he was fine.
Hmm.
Up until the time he was going to be transferred, the doctor came in and said, oh, he's just, a chest tube was put in, but
wow.
Not until the next day.
Yeesh.
After the pneumothorax occurred.
Wow.
The chest tube was put in the next day, but by that time it was too late, and he already had another hole because they put him on, I don't know, I can't remember if it was CPAP or what, but some kind of pressurized ventilator.
A PEEP, yeah. Oh, my
and
goodness.
Then there appeared another hole.
Wow.
In his other lung.
Yeesh.
So they only put one chest tube in, but
okay.
He had two holes in
Got
both
it.
Lungs.
All
you
right.
know. So then
right.
he
So
ended
what's
up,
going on now? How have you been since that happened?
It's, you know, good days and bad days. At first it was really, really hard.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it, see, my husband works and I stay home, but I am a student, but just, I think, being at the house alone and, you know, just all that, what I expected
okay,
has not happened, you know. I just, you know.
What do you want to know tonight?
I'm okay. I just, like, today I had a bad day.
Okay.
Today I had a bad day. I just, there's just days where I really, you know, I want a baby, but then, you know, it's like, I don't want another baby. I want him.
Well,
you know,
here's the trick with this, Amanda, is when you have another baby, which you will, make sure you're not trying to replace the one you lost.
That's what.
And it's not that it wouldn't feel right to you. It might, but it's a terrible disservice to the next baby.
That's what I'm worried about.
You really
most
have
of the
to.
Time I'm to the point where I can imagine another baby. I can put another baby in his room. I can,
I know.
You know.
Look, but you have to grieve the loss. You have to accept that it is gone. And once you've truly come to terms with that, that's the time to have the next child. And that will happen soon. If more than 6 months goes by and you're still really depressed, sometimes you need a little help with that. It's a horrible, horrible trauma you went through. Grant, 17.
Oh, hey, man.
Hey, what's going on?
First of all, wonderful man. Great show.
All right, what's up, dude?
I need to know how far I can take sex protection.
How far you can take it?
Yeah, like besides the condom and the birth pill, what else can I do?
You cannot have sex. I mean, what are you talking about?
Like I've heard of the foam or the, stuff.
No, look, birth control pill is 99.97% effective. That's all you need. Okay, if you want to add a condom to that, fine, add a condom. Then that is absolutely all you need to do. Wow, Etchy, 14. Etchy?
Yeah.
Etchy?
Yeah.
Is that your name?
It's my nickname.
What's your real name?
Harris.
All right, Harris. Where did the Etchy come from?
Well, I don't want to say on the air, but it's my last name.
Okay, unfortunately, you want to bleep that? Unfortunately, you are on the air. So go ahead, what's going on?
I masturbate with a back massager even though I'm a guy.
That's right.
And I can't get off any other way.
So you've been sort of desensitized by that, the way some of the female callers complain?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you ought to go back to the old-fashioned maneuver, you know?
Well, it just doesn't work.
Just kind of work on it. It will work. How long does it take you with the massager?
20 minutes, maybe.
20 minutes? How often do you do this?
7-8 times a day.
No, BS. Etchy,
no,
come on.
I'm serious.
Well, do the math. 7-8 times a day, 20 minutes each, that's 4 hours.
I know.
When do you go to school?
During the day, I'm an insomniac. I live in Atlanta. It's 3 o'clock here. Almost.
There's no way you do that 7-8 times a day.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm so serious.
Yeah. Well, then that's the problem. It's not the back massager. You've got to cut back. And if you've been sexually abused or had some sexual trauma and this is enacting out of that, then you need to get that treated. But the fact is, if nothing else will work, it's because you're depleted by what you're doing to yourself. You'll be able to go back to the old-fashioned method if you just give yourself, how about a day off? I'm sure things will work just fine after that. This is Dennis, 21.
Yeah.
No, yeah, all right.
What's up?
Hey, Dennis.
I got a little bit of a problem.
Yeah?
My girlfriend and I, we've been kind of fussing back and forth here lately. She's saying that I'm selfish, that everything is about me, all the money I spend.
How dare she? I can't imagine that. What's going on?
Well, see, the reason she's saying all this is because of the fact that I was married before. I got married. Hang on one second.
Oh, yeah, no problem. No
all
problem.
Pumps are prepay. Anyway.
Got it.
Anyway, I was married before. I got married 6 days after I graduated high school.
Yep.
And I didn't have any freedom.
Of course not.
The thing about it was...
Oh, is this the current wife you got married right out of high school is the one that's complaining you're selfish?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, Anderson. I appreciate that.
And what does she mean by selfish? What prompted that discussion?
Well, the thing was that, you know, I was spending money and things like that. It's like I go to the bar every weekend. And the reason why I go to the bar is because of the fact that, you know, I like spending time with my dad. My dad wasn't there, you know, when I was a kid. And now he's there. He's there for me. And, you know, we go to the bar and hang out and chill and stuff like that. And she, you know, she's kind of jealous of that because she says she doesn't get to go anywhere. But
why don't you either, A, invite her to come once in a while, or B, kind of curtail it, so balance it out a little bit. Don't go so much.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one thing I'd wondered. But
you guys have kids?
Well, we've got one on the way.
All right. So, you know, you gotta be a little more focused on this family you're establishing, right?
Yeah.
It's time. It's not a matter of selfish or not selfish. It's just what's good for this family system. Plus, when women are pregnant, they feel very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's been complaining more now, it's because she feels like, boy, you know, she is in a vulnerable position. And you're out. She's by herself. what's it going to be like when we have this kid here? You need to really belly up a little bit and make her feel secure and create a nest.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, you should still be able to spend time with your dad, but not so much.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, the thing about it is like, you know, I feel like, you know, I mean, it's like I was out on my own for about a year before I got together with her, okay? And the thing about it was that, you know, when I moved up here, it was all about me.
I understand that, but I understand that these are old patterns and hard to break, but you've relinquished all that. You were having a child. You got married too early. I understand that. You still needed to indulge some of that stuff. Sorry. End game. You're having a kid now. You relinquished all that. You got to find a way to balance this. It's not about you anymore. It's about somebody else. Kay, 18.
Hello.
Hey, Kay.
Hi.
What's going on?
I have a question about something called strep bacteria.
Vaginal strep?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. The doctor said I had it.
Yep.
And
very common.
First,
no big deal.
First, she thought it was a yeast infection.
Right.
So she was giving me,
right.
Well, first she gave me a cream, then she gave me Diflucan.
Right, and then when that doesn't clear up, it's usually strep. And strep clears up very nicely. It's no big deal.
But she gave me some, then later on she prescribed some pills, and that still didn't do anything.
Well, if you're having recurrent infection, recurrent vaginitis, that can be kind of unpleasant, and it's sometimes hard to clear it up.
I noticed, like, if I have sex, it'll decrease the flow or it'll stop.
You stinking whore!
The discharge?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
I wanted to know if that was, you know, normal or...
Yes, that's okay. But if you have recurrent strep, sometimes it's just that the bacteria live in around that area, sort of get in, or you can even get it from the anal area, gets up in there, and it can be really a problem when it recurs and recurs and recurs and be very uncomfortable, but doesn't necessarily have to harm you. And the fact that you're using things to control it, that's good. Just keep on top of it, and it's something usually they can get under control.
So if it goes away, will it come back again after the medication?
Sometimes. So it sounds like you're one of those people maybe prone to these recurrent episodes. All right. This is Dion, 34. Dion? Dion or Dion?
Yes.
Yeah, what's going on?
How are you tonight,
good.
Doctor?
Good.
Good. I had a question. Well, it was kind of in rebuttal to a thing that happened with Adam when he was on an earlier show.
Rebutting Adam.
Well, you know...
You're lucky he's not here.
That's a kind of a odd thing, isn't it?
I know. Imagine that.
I'm a big fan of both you guys, and I wanted to make a comment as far as what he had said.
Okay, go.
And that was in regards to the military.
Yeah.
He had said something to the effect of, a lot of the people that join the military are people that are going in to just get away, or a lot of ingrates that are...
Kiss my ass, you idiot.
Yeah, he really does sound... That's Anderson dropping his voice, but he really does sound,
okay.
He sounds hostile, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Let's hear that again.
That's good.
Hey, you ballless fags, just kill yourself.
Oh, my God. He's so hostile. All right, but here's what he does say, which has been his experience with his jack-off peers, which is that the guys that didn't have anything else to do, one of their options was always to enroll in the military, and many of them did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the point he's making, is that, of course, there's some very highly skilled people make career of this, but a large body, I guess. I don't know this.
Well, let me give you some statistics.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right, good.
It's a 60-40, okay? 40% of the people that do join the military are people that are pretty much going through a breakup or some kind of family dispute that, you know, they have problems out there, okay?
Mm.
And they join the military to get away from this, you know, current situation that they're in, okay? The other 60% are highly educated people that do join the military.
All right, cool down. Let's not argue.
MOS, okay?
All right.
But I wanted to make that clear. Because, you know, especially in our turmoil that our country's in at this point, okay, that, you know, somebody make a comment about that, that's, to me, sounded pretty much uneducated.
Okay.
For him to make a comment.
Yeah, again, shocking. Adam, uneducated? How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? Well,
I felt strong enough to be on hold for like 6 hours here to make that comment.
I'm glad you did.
I hope that people would.
How dare you?
From my standpoint, I'm glad. And listen, many more of us may end up involved in this whole endeavor before it's all done.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah. I think that everybody in our whole society right now is caught up in this. From our brothers and sisters right down to
in some way,
you know, everybody. Yeah. I mean, all walks of life, black, white, Hispanic, whatever have you. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that what's happened here is a tragedy. But, you know, the people that are out there, I don't care what they've done to get into the military, they're still out there protecting.
So you yourself don't have any specific association with the military. You just thought
that... Yes, I am. Yes, I do. I'm a reservist.
Okay. But at the very least, you felt strong enough that people, at such a pivotal time, people shouldn't be taking shots at it.
I don't think so. Do you think so, Doctor?
No, I kind of agree with you. I don't know what to make of our current situations, but certainly it's not time to be making uneducated remarks and taking pot shots where you shouldn't. Where it's cheap.
Right. And it's not just at me. I mean, that's the whole military force in general.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm with you.
Air Force, Army, Navy, Marines, whatever have you. I think that these are good people that have made a choice in their life to go out and do something like that, and I don't think they need to be slandered for that.
Fair enough.
All right,
thanks,
Doctor.
Dan. Appreciate it.
Have a good evening.
Take care.
Thank you.
Oh, big whoop.
Relax, Anderson. This is Mike. He's 22. Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just want to let you know that you're kind of an inspiration. I'm going into med school pretty quick. So.
Oh, fantastic. Where are you going?
Well, I got to get my grades up, but...
Where are you intending to go?
Well, University of Washington, I think.
All right, great. Great med school.
But a quick question for you. I'm 22 years old.
Yeah.
I'm going in to see my doctor about getting some antidepressants.
Yeah.
I'm a little quick out of the gate with my girlfriend.
How quick? How long?
3-4 minutes.
All right.
5 minutes,
yep.
Tops. I know that some of them can cause difficulty ejaculation.
Right.
To me, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing.
Right, and maybe you ought to make the choice of the particular medicine based on that side effect.
Any suggestions?
The ones that people complain the most from are Prozac and Zoloft.
Mm-hmm.
And Prozac, in my experience, is the one more with the delay in ejaculation. And Zoloft, they complain more about the lack of libido.
Ew.
So there's a slight difference, but it's different in different people, and you might have to do a little trial and error to find the one that works right for you.
Alrighty.
Okay?
Well, thank you, sir. Have a nice evening.
My pleasure. Thank you. This is Tom, 24.
Hi, how you doing, Adam?
No, that's true. Adam is, where the hell is Adam
today? I'm sorry.
Adam's in New York on his way to London.
I'm calling in regards to, I split up with my ex-girlfriend about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing a different girl. I haven't had sex in about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been having sex the past couple months, and I have a problem achieving an erection. Like, during intercourse, I'll actually lose my erection.
Oh.
And it's kind of, sticky situation. Yeah.
Or not.
What do you think it might be from? Is it maybe mentally or?
I'm baffled because I'm not clear what the history was you gave us. You were with someone for a year and then they broke up. And then why did you even bring that business in about a recent breakup? Or was it even a recent breakup?
The reason is I was fine up until recently. This is when it just recently
started.
You were
with someone for a year. Why did that relationship end?
Well, just, we grew apart and things
like
that.
And then you started a new one. How long ago?
I'd say about 3 months ago.
And it's been going well, the relationship?
That's fine.
Somebody you like a lot?
I'm sorry?
Are you into this girl?
Pretty much so.
Uh-oh.
I like her enough to, be seeing her.
Are you super attracted to her?
No.
Not exactly.
1 to 10, I'd say maybe an 8.
An 8. So that's pretty good. And then you're able to penetrate, but then you lose the erection during intercourse, right? How long?
The first go around, I'm fine. But it's second time, basically getting it up and everything. It just
what do you mean? What do you mean?
I never
second?
Had that problem before.
You're 24 now. There may not be a second time, right? As you get older, there's not a second time.
Well, I feel I'm still young enough.
Yeah, you may be. You may not. Are you on medication?
No, not at all.
Are you doing any drugs or alcohol when this happens?
Absolutely not.
Are you having sex more frequently now with this particular girl?
I'd say maybe once a week.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if it's more of trying to perform, and maybe I'm putting too much pressure on myself.
It may be a performance thing. It may be just that you're too tired. You've been working too much. You're distracted. You're not into this girl. It's just, but you're able to function normally at a single outing. That's fine. Who is it that wants the second time around? Is she asking for that?
Well, I usually, that's what I'm usually used to.
Yeah, well, maybe it's time to sort of become more of a adult, an older adult about this, and relax. You don't have to do that multiple times, and she may not even want it. Stephanie, 15.
Oh, hi. I have a statement to make about, I heard you were saying something about birth control is like 99.9 or whatever percent effective?
Oral contraceptive pill, if used properly, is 99.97% effective. That's
yeah,
a, that's,
and you told that guy that's all he needed or something? That, do you remember that? That
yes, that that's a fact. 99.97% is considered the most effective contraceptive other than abstinence.
Yeah.
Now, if he wants to practice safe sex, which he should be doing with his new multiple partners.
Oh, no, no, no. That has nothing to do with me. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, my mom was on... it was just really funny because my mom was on birth control and my dad was using protection and everything. And my mom had me, and I just thought that was really funny. But anyway, that's not...
Oh, big whoop.
Well, my question is... okay, my brother has this friend, and I really, really, really hope he's not listening. But, and I really like this guy.
How old is your brother?
And he's 16.
How old's the friend?
16.
Doesn't that seem normal enough?
Huh?
What would be so weird about that?
Weird about what?
Why is that weird?
I didn't say it was weird, did
I? You said I feel really weird about it. Is a 16-year-old guy around that you're into, happens to be your brother's friend.
No, I know, but it's weird because he's my brother's friend, and I've known him since forever.
Okay,
and
well, now you're attracted to him. That's what happens as puberty hits. You just see that TLC thing I did? We talked about it. What happens when the hormones turn on? 16-year-olds that used to be just your brother's friend when he was 8, some goofy guy that was a pain in the ass, now all of a sudden, oh, my God, I have these crazy feelings for him. That is normal, Stephanie. You can either just learn to deal with those feelings, or you can ask the guy out, or you can... You know, you might want to ask your brother, but it's nothing. It happens all the time. There's nothing wrong with it. Yes, it's a little awkward. The boundaries are a little weird, but you're not taking the friend away, and you're not violating your brother in some way. It's a guy that you're into. It happens to be also a friend of your brother's. Could be a good thing. All right, listen. It's Dr. Drew. Adam is not here tonight. I am free to do as I please. Thankfully, because of his absence, there will be no lengthy diatribes. And I'll be able to get through a lot of calls tonight. So do call in, and we will get to you tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191, and we'll be right back. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Tonight, unencumbered by Adam, we will get through lots of calls, like this one. Wait a minute. This one. Andy, 16.
Now.
Andy?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? My father passed away about a year ago, and right before he passed away, I started talking to this new girl who I had, you know, just met right before he died. And when he died in the attacks against the World Trade Center.
In the building?
Yeah, he was on the 104th floor.
Oh, my God. What was he doing there?
He was in a meeting. He actually worked across the street at One Liberty Plaza.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, and when everything happened, I talked to her the most about everything. And I just became really attracted to her. I was attracted to her before he died, and, you know, I started talking to her and then, but since she was the girl I was talking to, like, when I'd come home from the city from actually, like, going to hospitals and stuff, I would talk to her about it.
Oh, my God.
And we were intimate for a little while. We never did anything major besides, like, sloppy seconds and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it sort of broke apart. And I still was really attached to her. And the problem was the whole year, another girl was really attached to me. And I was sort of ignoring her for this other girl who I was attached to.
Oh, boy.
And
why did you break apart?
It was mainly just disinterest in her part, you know.
Ugh.
Like, I was still really into her, and she broke apart from me. And I was always sort of in denial of it. She was always flirty for the rest of the year, but nothing more than I like manufactured things.
Were you kind of overwhelming her with all this stuff?
I don't think I was overwhelming her. I just think that she wasn't interested. She just wanted to be friends. And,
wow.
And we remained a good relationship, and I always talked to her.
Well, there's two things, Andy, that occur to me. One is that is one of the last, let's call it, emotional remnants of your dad.
Yeah.
That's a piece of him in a way, because that was a relationship that was evolving when you lost him, and now you've lost that last piece too.
But it's been gone for, I may say it ended in like November.
But it's sort of a second hit, though, and it makes it kind of diverts your attention off some of the grief from your dad, and now makes that even overwhelming to let go of. So it's all sort of
The story gets a little worse. Well, like I said, there's a girl who was really into me the whole year who I was ignoring.
Yeah.
And then just recently, me and her started getting intimate. But her and this other girl got this huge, like, hatred between each other.
Yeah.
Throughout the not really fighting over me, but fighting because of me.
Huh.
And since I've been with this other girl, the first girl, has totally, like, rejected me. So now I'm not even getting her on a friend basis anymore. She's totally just backed away from me.
Okay.
And, like, I like this other girl I'm with, but I don't like her as much as the first girl. But I'm afraid if I lose that, I'll have nothing.
If you lose the second one.
If I lose the second one, I'll have nothing. So that's why I'm afraid to even try to go back to the first. Because they hate each other. They want me to see, like, they want the relationship to be either me with them and not the other one.
Oh, God. It sounds, honestly, like maybe you shouldn't be with either of them, frankly. Really. I mean, the fact that there's that kind of craziness going around, there's a complete lack of...
It's really been like a freaking soap opera.
It's crazy, and there's a total lack of empathy for what you're going through on both of their part. Right? I mean, the first one kind of, you know, the guy's got a bum in my eyes. His dad dies, big deal. Yeah, we all got a problem. Mm-hmm. And then the next one comes in and pays no attention to any of that and then completely blocks your relationship with someone that I imagine she knows it's very important to you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand she's jealous and everything. She's not comfortable with it, but my God, both these two. And then the kind of crazy borderline acting out they have between them. I don't know, Andy. It's just a horrible year. And all the relationships you have this year are probably more life preservers than real relationships.
And
you
know? I'm really worried about it now because we're like, you know, less than a month away.
Andy, I cannot make these decisions. Yeah, right. And maybe this is the time to really take a good look at things, take an inventory and make some tough choices and accept what this year has been to you, accept the losses, grieve them, and then decide on the memory of your father to go ahead and have a life and make good choices and do proper things. Take good care of yourself as he would want you to do. I'm getting kind of emotional thinking about the 9/11 thing coming up. I gave a talk last night at a college where the last time I'd spoken there was like September 5th or something, or September 2nd. And it was sort of one of the last big memories I have before September 11th, before the world, as I thought I understood it, was taken away from me. And I can just imagine if I also had family members taken away from me, just how unbelievably awful it would feel. Okay, it's Adam, 15.
Yes, well, all right. My question would be, is that are alcoholics are usually in denial? I mean, I live
What is your ethnic background?
I have a good background.
No, you have a funny accent. What's your ethnicity?
Oh, Hispanic.
Hispanic, okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Look, I live in Omaha, Nebraska. I just moved there from California, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And there's nothing to do over here, right? So everybody intends to drink at an age pretty young, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I got some friends, and they got me into it, and it seems I took it a little bit to the limit. I mean, I drink before I go to school, I drink after school.
At 15, that is not a little bit to the limit. That is way over the top.
I mean, I drink before I go to
school. Adam, that is totally way over the top.
Well,
you need to look into this. This is a serious thing. Is there alcoholism in your family?
No, there's not. That's the problem.
No grandparents? You know all your grandparents?
I know my grandparents. They don't drink.
You know all sets of grandparents?
No, I mean, it's something I just got into it. Like,
listen, do you know all four grandparents?
Oh, not all four grandparents. I know just my mom's.
Okay, look in the history of your grandparents. I think you'll find alcoholism there.
Well, is it like, because, you know, my friends tell me that, you know, dude, you never...
Adam, you're asking me whether it's over the top. It's completely over the top. It's virtually diagnostic for alcoholism, and you're 15. It's a really serious issue. You want to keep doing it? That's your business. But you're asking me my opinion. I'm giving it to you.
Well, I respect your opinion.
All right, then let's do something about it. Get on with your life and get some treatment. It's not going to stop on its own. Bruce, 21.
Yes, how you doing?
What's going on, Bruce?
Not much. My question is why is my penis head not straight as compared to the rest of my penis?
Anderson, why is his penis head not straight? is it kind of dipped down like sort of a hockey stick?
No. My theory is because right about the line where you can see where I was circumcised.
Right. It pulls
from about there on, it just kind of veers to the left a few degrees.
Right, and that's a common complication of circumcision.
Really?
Yeah, they kind of pull. It usually pulls down or up, but it can pull to the side too.
So I'm not just a freak of nature.
No, somebody did it to you.
Oh, well, that's good.
Now you can join that. You can join the anti-circumcision league. Restore the Forest-In group. believe me, this will be fine. No one will be particularly upset about this.
Well, no one's particularly upset. I was just kind of wondering.
One of us. All right, relax. It's cool. That's not the most aesthetically pleasing piece of anatomy anyway. Keith, 31.
Yeah, I'm, every once in a while I still get acne, you know, oily skin. But once in a while, I'll get one right on the edge of my lip, and I've always thought that they were cold sores. And I was wondering what the different is it? Do they feel different than a regular zit? Because these
cold sores,
ones that I thought were cold sores, they feel the interior is harder, and it actually the
right, Keith,
around it feels warm.
Yeah, I know.
Listen,
Nice. Well, let me ask you this: does pus come out of it? Does it burst?
Not on its own. It's sort of solid inside instead of pus.
Solid.
It's like pus, but it's thick and hard.
Well, there's things called inclusion cysts you can get around your lip that are sort of have jelly that comes out. That's not a zit and not a herpes. Herpes are ulcers. They're the skin that break down. So it's not that. Thomas, 23.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, Thomas.
Just want to say before I get to my question, I used to be a bogus caller and upset you a lot, but I'm actually very real tonight. So
now wait a minute.
Give me a chance.
Unacceptable.
You're the mason jar guy.
Yes, but I'm past
Thomas.
That I'm
Thomas, you're asking, this is the mason jar guy, Anderson.
Yeah, and I'm actually asking for a serious chance.
No, wait a minute. You're not the mason jar guy.
No, I really am. I'm the original one. I used to upset you. The guy from Tucson that met Adam that used to.
Yeah.
It's before my time. I wasn't here.
This is him. This is Thomas.
I'm glad to hear his voice.
Wait, Thomas, I need to spend a little time with you. Hang on. Whoa. Hold on a second here, Thomas. We'll get to your problem in a second.
Okay, I'm real, though, for real.
Either way, I'm dying to talk to you. Oh my God, this is legendary.
I started a trend, it seems.
A trend? Are you kidding? It's become the sort of the
theme of like many nights.
Yeah, it's like the catchword lets us know someone is giving us a bogus call.
They
don't even know why they're doing it.
Did you pick tonight because Adam's not here, though?
That's why I'm calling, because I have an actual real problem, and I really want to actually ask you a question.
Now, we got to sort of review history here a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, you met Adam at a club when he went down to KFMA or something about 6 years ago, right? 5 years ago?
October 17th, 1996 at Hotel Congress in Tucson,
creepy.
Arizona.
Yep. Oh, you don't go. That's not written on the wall anywhere in your room, is it, or anything like that?
And I was wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey.
Yes. Yes, that's right. He did say that. He said
Steelers
that.
Steelers are good. That's good.
And already at that point, he had been making several calls where he would go into the elaborate calls that we would completely go down the path with him. I mean, they were very good calls. And at the end, he would say,
Tom. He had a butthole the size of a mason jar.
And let me ask you something we've never had a chance to ask you.
Okay.
What in the F made you come up with that in the first place?
This is history in the making.
This is history right here. This is a question that millions of Americans have asked themselves.
I got that from Adam because I heard Adam talking about it, and he made a mason jar comment once, and I thought it was the funniest thing ever, so I kind of stole it from him and used it as a catchphrase, so it's pretty much... He's responsible for it. So.
All right, make up a new one because we can't say
we're not
that.
Telling him that, Thomas. I'm sorry. I will know that. I'll hold that in my heart, but I will never admit that to him. All right, now what's going on with you?
Okay.
You, by the way, you come to Los Angeles. You visit us sometime.
I've been in Los Angeles for 2 months, and I tried to go to the studio, but they couldn't find it.
What?
Yeah.
Stay on the line, and I'm going to have... No. Stay on the line. I'm going to have you guys give him Ann's phone number so when he comes out here.
Okay? You sure, okay. Drew? Are you really sure?
Yes.
You want him?
Yes.
You can hear the tone?
Oh, this is him.
I know, but it's a good tone. We want him
Adam,
in the studio
Adam,
in our presence.
Adam knows him. Yes. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I'm not safe. I'm not a nut job or anything. I'm really actually a good guy.
All right, now go ahead. Let's hear the problem.
Okay. I am there's a woman I work with who I kind of started seeing. I'm really, really infatuated with her. I think she's the most stunning woman ever. She knows how I feel about her, but
Thomas, what kind of job do you do?
I work at an automotive dealership.
And she is a salesperson or works?
No, she works in the administrative office.
Administrative office. All right. What kind of cars are you selling?
Well, actually, it's not cars. They're RVs. So
RVs.
All right.
All right. Got it. Okay.
All right.
And you think she's great? Does she have a boyfriend? Is she married?
No. She's single with a child. But, she was the most stunning woman I've ever seen.
Got it.
I went out of my way to go and meet her.
Okay, good.
And the problem is I don't think she's physically attracted to me, but we became friends and we hang out. And she kind of drinks a lot.
Okay.
But the problem is, I know she's not attracted to me. I confess my feelings towards her, but she just wants to be my friend.
Okay.
But the real problem is, when we go out and have drinks, she gets, like, really, really, drunk and intoxicated. And she'll hang all over me and start kissing on me and all that while I'm driving down the road or together or whatever.
We'll start pissing on you?
Yeah, but she will not hug me properly or let me... touch her, give her a friendly back rub, but she lets every other guy do it because I think that she's kind of shallow, because I'm kind of a big guy, I guess. But in the real sober world, she doesn't want to have anything to do with me in that respect. But when she's drunk and we're together, she'll hang all over me and make out with me and touch me and do all kinds of stuff. But she doesn't really acknowledge, I haven't really brought that specific thing up to her while she was sober.
Do you ever date her, like really date her, take her out for nice dates and things?
I try to, but she doesn't let it go any farther. I mean, I try to take her out to a nice dinner. I'm always courting her and, you know, making gourmet meals for her and trying to be, you know, nice. And
she'll go out with you on these things, but they're very sort of friendly unless she gets loaded and then they get amorous. Is that it?
Exactly. That it always, alcohol always involves.
Jeez, I know exactly what Adam would say with this, but I'm not going to tell you to do that.
Yeah. But is it possible she blacking out and not realizing that she's, you know, making out with me or she's pretending
else? She may be an alcoholic, and alcoholics, when they're in that sort of aroused state, will do all kinds of things that they wouldn't otherwise do. They're altered. They have personality changes. They get lots of changes in their behavior. And sex and sexuality, one of the things that sort of gets the volume gets turned up on a little bit when they're drinking. It may or may not be with a blackout. I suspect it's not, frankly, unless she's completely loaded. And how often has this happened?
This has happened in the past couple weeks that we've been going out. It's happened about four times because we go out.
I think, honestly, you have your foot squarely in the door. I really do. I understand that it's not going as quickly as you'd like it to, and it's not, and it feels like you're sort of stuck in Friendville, but you're not. You're going on dates. You have, you know, sort of quasi-physical encounters that are agreeably are sort of adulterated, but...
But she's attracted to another man at my work, at some other coworker, and she really likes him and is infatuated with him, and she's already gone out on a date with him.
Oof.
Hey, Thomas, does she listen to the show at all?
No, she doesn't. That's exactly why I'm calling.
Oh, well, yeah, she has nothing in common with Thomas.
He should bring her in with him.
Bring her up
date.
Here?
Yeah.
Bring her
a great little Italian spot across the street.
Yeah, but he's in Arizona. He's in Tucson.
Yeah.
And he probably, she probably hates Adam Cole. So,
but he's in LA all the time and he can bring her
over. Yeah, you're welcome to bring her over. We would happy to try to talk you up to her. We'd be delighted.
Well, she wouldn't come with me anyways. I come out there on business once in a while. I was there for 2 months, you know,
here's reality.
Yeah.
Here's reality. You can't control her and her attractions and who she forms a connection with. You can't control that. All you can do is do your best. Date her, try to make your intentions clear, your feelings clear, and she will either respond to that or she will not. I understand that there's somebody that you're competing with that may be in line ahead of you, but the reality is you've made a pretty good done a pretty good job with this. You're dating, you're making dinners, you're about as much as you can do, and she's kind of responding. And if she's going to respond, it will happen soon. If not, and if she starts going with this other guy, accept what has happened. I understand she's fabulous, but it's not going to be for you. And I'm sure she has a butthole the size of a mason jar. What do you think, Anderson?
Let him finish and say that.
All right.
Go Stillers.
Thomas.
Yes, sir.
Don't you think? When the day is done, won't she have a mason jar?
No, I won't say it about this woman. Okay. I'm done. I'm past that. I'm
okay, bro, you've grown past it.
I think he's in love.
I think you've somehow transferred it over to us, though. Thomas, listen, I think you're making a great show of things. I think if there is a chance that you're going to do it, the road you're going down is the road to go down. There's sort of no other way other than ether and duct tape, as Adam would say. You know what I'm saying? I hope this works out for you. And if not, please accept the reality. Accepting reality on reality's terms is mental health. And there are many other girls like that out there. Trust me, please. You're 23, for crying out loud. There's a lot of time. Relax. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam is away. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back to calls. This is David, who's 27. David.
Yeah, I wanted to know if it's possible to confuse ovarian cyst an examination versus having too much stool in your colon.
Yeah, very easily. Very easily.
Even though she still has pain in there and in her groin?
Well, you're talking about the pelvic exam?
No, I'm talking about like an internal exam.
That's a pelvic exam. You put your hand on top. And
yes.
It was not a gynecologist, right? Just a regular doctor?
No, it was a gyno.
Gynecologist? Gynecologists usually can tell the difference between that. A regular, who's not, you know, just a generalist who's not doing pelvics all day long.
Okay.
It's really easy to all you know is there's a fullness over there on that left side.
Oh, I see.
And if she's been constipated, then it's full of poo, and that's it. What, they do an ultrasound and find something?
Well, they just said they looked in the ultrasound, and all they found was a lot of stool in there.
All right, well, that means she's constipated, and that's why she's having pain. She's got to clean herself out.
Even though she goes regularly every day?
Yes.
So, like a blockage up there? Or?
Yes, the stuff left behind, yes.
Oh, great. Well, thanks a lot.
Is she taking drugs?
No, she just takes her pregnancy pill, and that's it.
That's it. And she's having pain on the left side?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there are other things that can do that, but the next step would be to clear things out, all right?
All right, thank you.
All right, good times. This is Hector, 23. What's up, Hector?
Yeah, my question was on, okay.
Okay.
My wife, the majority of the time that we have sex, she gets a yeast infection. And so when we go, she's gone to the doctor and she's gotten treated about 3 times.
Yeah.
And they'll give her the cream, and then the last few times they give her some pills. They really work, like, quick.
Diflucan pills?
I don't know. What was the name of it? Gluterm? Was it Gluterm?
Diflucan?
Glucan. Matricusin.
Nitrofurantoin?
Yeah.
Nitrofurantoin.
What is it? Matriphalactin?
Matriconazole.
Itraconazole. Okay, yeah.
And, she's thinking that it's me giving it back to her.
Yeah, a little yeasty on the peckaroo.
Well, it's possible. Actually, men can harbor a little yeast in the urethra and can kind of give it back. But more likely, it's just that she's super sensitive and you introduce anything in there and that ecosystem gets upset.
There's no way around it.
There's no way around what? Her getting these?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things to do is to get you treated first to make sure that the yeast is not being passed back and forth. And then if she's just one of these people that anything gets in there and it sort of upsets the balance of nature, then she has to get used to using those creams pretty regularly. So that's that. This is Sherry. Sherry?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on? 33.
Hi.
Hey.
My question's in regards to my husband and I, our sex life. I'd say over the past year, we have a really good marriage. However, my sex drive is virtually nothing, and his is really high.
Okay.
And we have a 10-month-old baby, and I know that could partially be it.
Right.
But I'm also a type 1 diabetic, and I was wondering if that could have something to do with it.
Absolutely. Are you taking anything besides insulin for your diabetes?
No. I'm on an insulin pump.
And that's it? You're not on Actos or anything else, or Avandia?
No.
And any other medications you take?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Birth control pills?
No, actually I don't.
Okay. Sometimes going on the pills can actually restore your sex drive after a baby is born. Is that been the time frame for this drop in sex drive? Has it been since the pregnancy, or has it been something coming on for a long time?
I would say probably since the pregnancy. However, after I had the baby, I had complications, and I can't take birth control pills anymore.
Oh, boy. What happened? Did you have a stroke or something?
I had blood clots in my lungs after I had a
stroke. Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, good times. Were you one of those diabetics during adolescence that let things get out of control a lot? Oh, we can't hear you. What's that?
I'm 30. Since I was 27.
27. All right, so you've only had it for about 6 years.
Yeah.
And it's well controlled now?
Yeah.
Oh, that connection's impossible. Jerry, unfortunately, that is a really difficult combination of problems. The diabetes absolutely can cause peripheral nerve damage, as you well know. It can certainly affect your libido and your sexual responsiveness. Having had a baby can do that as well. So 10 months after delivery, very commonly, women complain of a drop in sex drive, not just from the phenomenal hormonal changes of having a child, but also the stress of dealing with a child. Now you add to that the fact that you've had thrombotic events in your legs with pulmonary emboli. You can't take the birth control pill. It's really hard to give you any kind of hormonal interventions that could affect this. You're not depressed, at least I don't think so. And it's, I think, just a matter of trying to work with this as best you can. You've got a really difficult combination of problems. I would make sure that I was seeing a diabetologist, to see an endocrinologist, just to make sure that the entire system is being evaluated. All endocrine systems are being checked to make sure there's not something else going on here. Cassie, 15.
Hi. I kind of have a question about my mom.
Yeah?
Every time, like, she goes in the kitchen, it seems like she's taking some kind of pills.
Mm.
Like, a few years ago, she had a hysterectomy, and I know she's been, like, kind of in a lot of pain and stuff like that, but every time I see her, she's, you know, popping some type of pill.
Not good.
Yeah, and my sister used to kind of joke about her, like, smoking weed and stuff like this, and I'm starting to kind of believe it.
All right, Cassie, hang on one second. Yeah, she may be an addict, and we will explore that when we get back. Back to Love Line. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam is away, and we were talking to Cassie. She is 15, and Cassie, your mom's taking a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
And you said she had pain since her hysterectomy?
Well, she just had her appendix out a few weeks ago, and I know she, like, has to take a lot of medication for, like, for her having her uterus out, and...
Look, there's not a lot of medication for that.
Yeah.
There's, like, one pill, and it's not a pain pill. If she's taking pain pills after an operation, it should not go longer than 2 weeks. Period.
Yeah.
And if one of her parents was an alcoholic, she had a pot history. Now she's taking a bunch of pills. Look, Vicodin, OxyContin. These are all oral heroin. Is all this is. It's oral opiates. It's severe addiction, and they also will usually sprinkle in some Xanax and Ativan and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a common and profound form of addiction. And the thing about it is, the brain, in the addicted brain, there's a pain reward mechanism that gets activated where the spinal cord starts confusing the information coming in, and it causes pain. Being on opiates actually causes the perpetuation of the pain the person is trying to treat. It's why people with low back pain never seem to get better and always have to take opiates. We take them off the opiates, and 3 weeks later, magically their back pain is, if not completely gone, at least suddenly magically tolerable.
Yeah.
They're in a sort of chronic state of withdrawal, but the same thing happens from headaches and abdominal pain.
So is this, like, meaning, because I was talking to a friend and she said she might be a hypochondriac. Is that where you think you're sick?
Look, if you're an addict, hypochondriacs are basically telling their story of woe through their body. Think about it that way. It's that something maybe happened to her when she was growing up and it caused her to dissociate somatically from some of her experiences. And the only way they can communicate these stories of woe, of pain, is through their body. Now, if they're addicts, then that becomes the source, that becomes the reason for taking lots of pain medication. It becomes a very, very much tied up in the whole survival apparatus, and so there's no way to convince them that they're not having pain or they don't need the pain medication unless they get comprehensive treatment.
Yeah, because it just seems like every time...
Forget making a diagnosis. If she's taking a lot of drugs, before you make any diagnosis, she has to be off all drugs for a few months, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Cass, good luck.
All right, thanks.
All right. All right, this is Robert, 18. Robert, what's going on?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey.
I've noticed for, like, 3 to 4 months ago.
Yeah.
In the shower, I noticed that, you know, around the walls of my anus.
Yeah, like the walls of your anus, okay.
Yeah. they seem to be, like, little pimple-like, you know, little stuff. I'm not sure if it's hemorrhoids or it could be...
Hemorrhoids are really at right where the stuff comes out, right? Little,
yeah.
Like a cauliflower. Like a flower. And the warts can occur, they're sort of irregular, but they're like tags. They're like little things that hang off.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Nice.
And they feel like little ones, you know?
Yeah, so that's anal warts. That needs to be actually taken care of. You let those go out of control, even such as it is, even with controlling them, they can proliferate, and they can increase your risk of anal cancer later in life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of treatment is there out there?
Oh, interferon and freezing them off and burning them off, all kinds of stuff. They're pretty easy to take control of. Just see a dermatologist. They'll have no trouble taking care of that. This is Roger, 23.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Roger.
I'm a big fan, calling about something I read about called the Varicocele.
Varicocele?
I guess that's it, yeah. I understand it's when one of the testicles gets cut off.
Well, all you're going to know is you feel a thing coming off your nuts. You feel an extra nut in there.
I'm sorry?
You're going to feel what feels like an extra nut inside your sack, as our callers would say.
Okay. I understood that it was like, that it could... Like, since puberty, I've pretty much been overweight, and I've had a really hard time losing the weight, and I haven't felt, I felt unmotivated. I understood it could also have to do with cutting off testosterone levels.
No, Roger, you're overthinking this. Varicoceles are extremely common. Yes, they can affect fertility sometimes, but really not going to substantiate check. You're not going to... constitutionally do anything. All you're going to know is you feel sort of what feels like two testicles inside your sac. and they can be uncomfortable sometimes. It's usually nothing. Sometimes they have to be removed or drained, but it's not a big deal at all. And they would not have anything to do with your weight problem. And the weight problem undoubtedly is why you feel so lethargic. And I would look more into things like sleep apnea and mood disturbances before I would be looking for hormonal problems. Jessica, 15.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. A couple days ago, well, first of all, I love you so much. Mm. I'm obsessed with you.
With me?
Yes, I love you so much.
Oh, my goodness. We haven't had one of those calls since I was a lot younger.
When I'm not home, I tape your all night. I tape it.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
I love
kind.
You so much.
Well.
Okay. Well, my question is that a couple days ago, my dad had a phone call from some woman, and I listened to it. And they were making plans to go have sex. Mm. And that my parents are still married.
Oh, my.
And they've been married for 10 years.
Oh, my.
And I don't know what to do.
Well, let's kind of look at things. They're married 10 years, but you're 15.
Well, yeah. Well,
so what's that all about?
They've been weird.
Tell me more.
What do you mean?
Well, why haven't they been married 16 years?
I don't know.
They had you, and then they got married 5 years later?
Yeah.
Has their relationship been okay?
Well, yeah, they've been fine. They'll have their fights, like every relationship, but that's it.
But not a big deal.
No.
And what exactly went down in this phone call? I mean, is there any chance you misunderstood what was going on?
He said that for Friday night that they'll meet, and then they started calling all these names, and it's like, well, and then he just said, oh, I'll tell my wife that I'm going out with the boys and all that.
But then did he say what the plan was they were gonna do?
Well, they didn't like say exactly, but it was obvious that.
And so, what do you do about this? What kind of relationship do you have with your dad?
He has an anger problem.
Mm. Are you an only child?
No, I have an older brother.
Could you talk to him about this?
No.
Why?
I don't know. We're not close at all.
How old is he?
He's 18 or...
Oh, Jessica, you need some help with this. Is there a cool aunt or something or anybody else you can talk to?
No, my mom's an only child. We don't talk to my dad's side.
Why?
Because they're kind of crazy.
Oh, my. No, that's probably why he's the way he is. You know, you come from that kind of chaos. It's hard to have real intimate relationships. You have to do something to kind of stir it up and create some chaos. And
yeah, I don't know to tell my mom and break up the relationship or piss off my dad. Or whatever. And I'm not close with my dad. And I love my dad, but I don't want to mess our relationship already. Yeah.
You know, Jessica, I don't... Oh, man.
Oh.
I don't want to tell you what to do because I don't think there's a lot of good options here unless you can get... The most important thing you need to do is enlist some support from some other adult, somebody that can help you sort of navigate through this. Is there a neighbor or anybody, a friend of your... You know, do you have any friends you're close with whose parents you have a good relationship with? Someone that can help you navigate this, because if you try to do battle with your dad, it could be really bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, your dad kind of needs to be put on notice that his behavior is affecting you.
Right.
And it's hurting you, and it's harmful to you. And if he's going to change, or if he cares what he does, how what he does affects you, it's time to change.
Okay.
And he's not going to be able to or have an opportunity to do that unless he is told that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you go into that and it really breaks down into a lot of chaos and you have nowhere to...
Right, and I'm in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's not good. Nor is it going to be good for you to cause a lot of stress between your parents.
Right.
Is there an adult you trust or can get involved with?
Neighbors.
When
I was younger, I used to go across the street all the time.
Any close with them?
Yeah, very.
Why don't you do that? Why don't you just sit down and tell them you have something you really need to talk about that's bothering you and get that help. That support. And then maybe you with the neighbors will decide what you want to do. Brian, can you get her phone number? Maybe we can call up. We'll follow up with you maybe later on in the week and see what happened, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Hang in there. It's going to be okay.
All right.
And you know you had nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not one of these kids who feels like you're responsible for why your parents behaving the way they are, right?
Right.
Huh? You're not one of those or you are?
No.
You're doing okay at school?
Yeah.
You going away to college?
Of course.
All right. We'll talk to you in a couple of days, all right?
All right.
Wow. Corey, 15.
Yeah, I kind of have this question. There's this girl that I like.
Yeah?
I don't know if I should say her name because I don't want to know if I'm talking
about her. It's all right. It's all right.
Okay, well, I asked her out, like, to go to movies on Saturday, and she said yeah, but she wasn't too enthusiastic about it, you know, kind of like, oh, yeah, you know?
Is she a friend of yours?
Yeah, but I mean...
Did you ask her out romantically?
Yeah, I asked her if, you know, hey, you want to go, like, you know, on a date to a movie or something.
But does she know that you meant it sort of romantically?
Yeah.
She knew that. Is she lesbian?
She's bi.
She's bi, and you're bi?
Yeah.
And she knows that?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, well, my one of my friends asked her if she liked me, and she said that she didn't know because she's confused.
Right, which is 15-year-old bisexual would be confused most of the time.
Well,
that's sort of what that means for most 15-year-olds.
Well, I mean, she knows what she wants, but she just doesn't know how she feels about me. And I'm kind of confused myself now because that confused me. I don't know what I should do because, I mean, I really like her, but...
Go out to dinner. See how it... Or what are you doing? A movie. See how it goes. See if you have a good time. See if you're compatible. If she wants to date again, date again. If she doesn't, then that's what the dating process is about. It's a courting. You're trying things on. You're seeing if you want to be with each other, if you like each other. And this 15-year-old you're with is kind of confused already. She's 15-year-old bisexual, almost by definition, is a sexual identity problem. That is not a mature orientation at 15. Okay, most 15-year-olds have some question about their sexuality, often feel sort of bisexual. But once you declare at 15 you're bisexual, that means you're confused. Now, you may develop a mature bisexual orientation. I'm not saying that that's not possible. That's possible. But to be confused and bisexual would be the same at 15. Confused and bisexual. Redundant. Mike, 14.
Yeah. First of all, I think you should run for president.
Me?
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, and I agree with Adam in taking over the world. I think he should.
Well, that's him.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'll be president. He'll take over the rest of the world?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, got it.
You just control the United States.
Okay, yeah, cool.
We'd be all good.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, great.
Anyway.
I spend most of my time, by the way, protecting you from Adam. Go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to start with a story. This relates to it. I live with my dad now, but before that, I live with my mom, who abused me emotionally and physically. She's taken a bat to my face.
Oh, my God.
She's thrown a stereo at me.
What was up with her?
I have no clue. We have no anger in the family, and on my mom's side of the family.
Was she doing speed?
No, she's not on any drugs at all.
Oh, a bat to your face? And how old were you?
I was, I think in like 5th or 6th grade. And
Mike, when you were 20 or 30, let's say when you're 30, I want you to think back to how, look at other 10 and 11-year-olds and imagine what it would take for someone to punch or take a bat to that child. It's unfathomable. It's unbelievable.
I get sick to my stomach every time I like read, like, because I'll have like bad dreams of it and so on and so forth. And it hurt me like emotionally and like
of course.
Yeah. And and she also did a lot of other stuff. Used to yell at me and just call me bad names. And
But now you're out. You're with your dad.
Yeah, I'm with my dad. Me and my dad and my stepmom get along really good. Anyway, I play sports.
Yeah.
And every time that I, are running or doing, like, physical stuff really hard, my chest starts to hurt. And I, like, kind of get a blackout feeling, but I don't really pass out. And I checked with my coach, and he said to go to our physical trainer at the school.
Right.
And he checked me out, did a physical, and did whatever was necessary. And he told me to go to the doctor. Well, I won't be able to go to the doctor for another week. I don't live here. I live up in Phoenix.
Okay.
I'm down here because I'm checking out of school.
Okay. Are you worried that you're in some kind of imminent danger?
Yeah.
No. But you do need to see someone. You need a thorough cardiac evaluation before you engage in any more high-level sports athletic activities.
Okay.
In fact, I'm kind of up on this stuff now. I've been doing a lot of the injury clearances and physical clearances for my son's football team, tackle football team. So all of a sudden, I'm an orthopedic.
That's what I do.
Yeah, which I think, by the way, Mike, given your history, I cannot tell you how healthy I think that is for a young male that's been through what you've been through. It's going to really help you, first of all, reconnect with a part of yourself that's angry and rageful and focus it in a way that's healthy, hopefully.
Yeah.
And I just say, you know, I want you to play football. Go play football. I would hate to think that whatever is causing these symptoms is going to prevent you from playing the sports, because that's going to be a life-saving opportunity for you emotionally.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys your age get a lot of different kinds of symptoms, most of which amount to not a heck of a lot. It could be even asthma. It could be a congenital heart problem. It could be a rhythm disturbance. It could be lots of things. Very unlikely it's anything serious, but it is something that should be evaluated by a cardiologist and should be evaluated completely. But you're not in any kind of imminent danger, okay?
All right, one more question.
Yeah.
When are you guys going to come back down to Tucson or Phoenix?
Whenever they invite us. You know, the school's got to invite us down there, and we'll come and speak anytime, all right?
You guys got to come down because I was there last year.
No, when we were at University of Arizona?
Yeah, and I went with my sister, and you guys are just great. You guys are awesome.
Well, thanks, Mike. We appreciate it.
All right, talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Stay cool in that goddamn heat in Tucson. My God. All right, Jasmine, 22.
Hi. I don't know. I've been really depressed the past year. I had a baby, and he lived for about 2 weeks, and then he died.
Oh, my God, what happened? Oh, my God, this is like baby demise night. This
I heard the one earlier, and my heart really went.
Oh, my God.
Girl.
What happened to you?
He was 3 months premature.
Oh.
So his lungs just weren't developed.
Right.
So, like I said, he was in intensive care for 2 weeks, and then he died.
Oh, my God.
And a couple months after that, my husband left.
Mm. Good. Fantastic. Any other kids?
Yeah, that's actually why I'm calling. I have a 4-year-old daughter from a previous relationship.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of, especially recently, I just broke up with another boyfriend, and he kind of cut into me when we broke up. He took me down, you know, a few notches, cut into me about how I'm a bad mother and, you know, what a bitch I am and all that. And I've been kind of disassociating from my daughter. It's like I still care about her and I still take care of her, but I don't feel very proprietary.
But, you know, Jasmine, that's probably your depression.
Well, I know.
I mean, it sounds like you're getting profoundly depressed.
You know, and I am in therapy, but...
Yeah. You may need to be on some medication, right?
Possibly, but my whole point is now I've been seriously thinking about, you know, because I can sort of take care of my daughter, but I don't really feel she's getting the care she needs.
Then find people to include in your life and her life that can get some of those needs
met. I've been thinking about, you know, I've even been thinking about getting my tubes tied. I've been thinking about giving my daughter up for adoption.
Giving your daughter up for an adoption. Were you given up at some point for adoption?
No, but mother's basically made me feel like, you know, my mother had me really young, and she's made me feel like, you know, I screwed her life up.
How old was she when she had you?
She was 16.
That's another case in point for teen pregnancy. It's good times.
Yeah.
Great. Right. And Jasmine has to carry along that cross her whole life. But look, don't now transfer all that onto your kid.
Well, my mom and I have been fighting about it a lot. You know, she wants me to give her to her, but she just got diagnosed with lupus. And there's a possibility she could be dying within the next couple of years.
Well,
I don't want to give my daughter to her if she's just going to turn around and die.
Right. So, listen.
I don't even have a job right now.
What happened to Dad?
You know,
where's Dad?
He used to hit me.
But why isn't he involved in her life at all?
She's a trophy to him. He comes around like twice a year. And, you know, he just doesn't, his family life was all screwed up. So he wanted to have this baby so he could make his own family. And then he started hitting me and ignoring her, and I threw him out.
That's just horrible. Look,
so
giving this child up for adoption at age 4 would be an injury she probably would never recover from.
And that's one of the things that I'm trying to
figure out. Simply,
I don't want to mess her up, but at the same time, I don't want to mess her up by keeping her.
I understand that, but from my perspective, my opinion would be there's no more serious an injury that you could do than giving her up for adoption.
Okay.
Unless you were overtly physically abusive all the time and were keeping predators around the house or were sexually abusing her, then I'd say go ahead and give her up for adoption. But as it is, there's probably no more serious an injury you could render to her than abandoning her right now.
Okay.
Now, you just being around, I know it's not what you want. I know it's not great parenting. But see if you can fill it in with some other people in her life that care about her. And then just support you. People that study the attachment issues and child rearing and the kinds of things that women need in order to form adequate and stable attachments with their children. There's a guy at University of either Minnesota or Wisconsin, I'm blanking on his name right now, did a huge longitudinal study and his point of view was that if there was one thing he could give a mother of a child that's struggling, it's a supportive husband, a supportive mate, somebody to support her.
He's been kind of coming around again
but
lately.
Not so much that he could be involved, but somebody who could support you to deal with the stress of being a parent and trying to support someone and being emotionally available and taking care of yourself. It takes more than one person to do that effectively.
Yeah, ever since I was little, I've basically been raised to take care of everybody else and kind of ignore myself.
Well, you know,
my parents split up when I was really little, and I had a younger brother. My mom kind of put that on me.
All right, well, it's awful trauma. You're in therapy, but Jasmine, it sounds like you need to be on medication right now so that the affective disturbance, the mood problem, doesn't become so severe that you do hurt yourself or your daughter in some way. Paul, 16.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul. What's up?
Okay, so...
So, dude.
I have a problem with this thing that I'm having with my penis and stuff, and so...
Hang on, let me see if I got that right. This thing that I'm having with my penis and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
about my circumcision. I don't know how I should be going about doing this. My father's told me that, okay, you know, when you get a certain age or whatever, you know, you'll be able to have sex just like normal or whatever, and it'll just go ahead or whatever. It'll just, like, go away or whatever, right?
What will go away?
Like, the little line or whatever that's there. Like, the little cord that's attached to the top or whatever the thing is or you want to call it.
The foreskin?
I guess that's what you call it.
The thing that, the skin that flips over the top of the penis?
Yeah.
It will go away?
Like, it'll go away or fade away or something.
No,
like,
it won't fade away. You can pull it back.
Like, no, I'm talking about the little line, okay? Isn't that the line that they circumcise or whatever?
So you mean the scar from your circumcision?
Yeah. Isn't that, like, what they circumcise?
What they circumcise is your foreskin. This thing hangs over the head of your penis, a big piece of skin.
Okay, well, I know I'm not circumcised, so, okay. But, okay, well, I know when I get older, I do want to, you know what I'm saying, get rid of it or whatever, you know?
All right.
I don't want to get rid of it now. I've talked to my dad, like, once about it, and I know he would just, like, flip out about me asking to get it removed or whatever.
Why?
Huh?
Why would he flip out?
I don't really know why, but I know my dad's just not that kind of type of person to, you know, talk about all this sex stuff. And
how'd that conversation go? Is what I want to know. How did the conversation go where you're talking to your dad?
Did you bring it up with him?
Yeah, it was at his church. They were having the subject about sex on and all that kind of stuff, and it was in the territory of that. So I was just like, you know, I'll just pop up. And I asked him, am I circumcised, you know? I really don't know the difference. And so I'm like, because we never had really, like, sex, you know, conversation. The only conversation he always ever told me was that men have penises and women have, you know, vaginas or whatever. That was it.
That's nice that he went into such detail with you. quite a new age man.
So when I get older, I want to get rid of this thing.
All right, listen, Paul, it's no big deal to get a circumcision. It's no big deal. I mean, you're 18, you want to do it. It's very safe. It's much more uncomfortable, obviously, than if you did it as a child. Takes a couple weeks of inaction, but you're not having any action anyway, so it's no big deal. Just relax. You take care of it when you're 18 if you want to. In the meantime, it's certainly not going to hurt you. Ian, 21.
My question actually is about I have a 3-year-old daughter and actually almost 1-year-old son. Mm. And I have an open relationship with her mother, but we're not together. Actually, right. She lives in Minnesota. I live in California.
Right.
I go back once a month to see the kids. We have an open relationship. She tells me about how she smokes pot, and her and her sister are smoking pot around my daughter. Mm-hmm. One time she thought my daughter got a contact high because she was acting like she had the munchies. I just want to know, is there adverse effects from maybe that her being close to that, or also psychological from her seeing that?
Well, it's not so much the modeling of the behavior, although there is an impact of that. There are several things. One is at least one of those kids is going to get the gene for addiction if your wife is an addict. Secondly, kids being around intoxicated parents can be highly traumatizing. Even if it's something as benign as pot, they feel a sense of abandonment and detachment. They feel helpless and out of control because the parent is that. They're not in control of their faculties in the way a child needs, and that becomes traumatizing. And there's also the fact that your wife, your girlfriend, is the kind of jack-off that would sit around smoking pot in front of their 3-year-old kid. So there's multiple issues here, and it's not so much the modeling or the exposure to the pot smoke. It's that you've got an addict, she's enough of an idiot to do in front of her kids and be cavalier about it, and she is intoxicated in front of the kids, which can be highly traumatizing to them. Yeah, this is a really serious concern, Ian. We'll be right back. Loveline, Dr. Drew here. Adam coming back tomorrow, isn't he? Yeah, he'll be calling in from New York, and... I guess he'll be on Stern in the morning. In the meantime, we will be talking to callers. Lots of callers. Thank God that we're not encumbered by Adam. Sebastian, 17.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Just to let you know, you're one of the smartest people I know.
Dude, thank you. Even though I don't know you. What's going on?
There's this one stripper.
Just one?
Just one.
All right.
I slept with her, and her friend, which is sleeping with my best friend, she told my friend, and my friend told me it wasn't supposed to. They think they all, it's just a little rumor. They all think that she has HIV. She's been getting tested for it. It's been 3 months, and she's negative all the way.
Whoa, you've confused me. She told your good friend that she's concerned?
No. She told her friend. Her friend is going out with my friend. Her friend told my friend, and my friend wasn't supposed to tell me, but he did.
That
she might have HIV. Now, the past...
That she's afraid that she has HIV, and that's why she's...
Right. She's afraid.
But she doesn't have it because she's been getting tested repeatedly.
Right, but I heard that you need to be tested 6 months or longer.
That's true. Has she had any kind of an acute infection? Any evidence that...
No, fever,
and a sort of a mono-like thing to suggest that maybe she was having the acute infection with the HIV virus?
I didn't see anything.
All right, so what's the deal here? What is going on?
Like the past 4 weeks, it's just been horrible. I've been going to Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation and, just getting tested. It's been a month now. I've been negative twice already.
But she's negative. What are you freaking out about?
She's negative all the way till 3 months, but HIV couldn't show up.
What is her risk? Where did she get it?
I don't know. She might have got it from whoever that she slept with before.
But she's being tested for. She has been being tested for 3 months.
Right.
And you don't know how long before that 3 months she's worried she might have been exposed.
Right. It could have been 2 days. It could have been a month. I have no idea.
Or it could have been a year. And that six-month window may have passed long ago.
Yeah, but it could have been a day ago.
But why are you talking to her about this?
Why don't I?
Yeah.
I've only seen her once.
Or she might just... You only had sex with her once?
Right, one.
Okay, the risk of, the probability of transmitting HIV female to male by a single sexual encounter is rather remote.
So
even if she had it, were you wearing a condom?
Yeah, I was wearing a condom.
Okay, so the probability of you getting, even if she had it, which she evidently does not.
Well, this is the thing. While I was done, I pulled out, and there was a little, like an inch ripped off on the left-hand side.
Yeah, but...
Close to the tip. It was just ripped up. I just ran to the bathroom. I really did. I ran to the bathroom and I washed it.
All right. Well, look, this is, your risks are minimal, and this is somebody who doesn't even have it. She's been tested, doesn't have it. Even if you were not wearing a condom, even if she had it, it would be a difficult thing to happen. It would be an unlikely transmission.
Because this counselor lady that I talked to, she said HIV does travel through females.
Yes, it has the potential to. Yes, it could. But the probability of it happening in a single sexual encounter is rather low. And she doesn't have it. That's the other thing. This is the craziness of all this. She's been tested. She has no evidence of an acute infection. Her viral levels, if anything, would be nominal, if anything. No. Listen, yes, appropriate to take good, careful... go to every length to make sure that you don't have this, that you haven't contracted it, to test yourself across 6 months, to make sure she's tested across 6 months, but the probability is very remote. 27.
Hi. I was calling. It's kind of an odd question.
Mm-hmm.
I've had 4 leaps done in the past
mm-hmm.
to remove precancer cells.
Right.
And I lost 75% of my cervix.
Uh-huh.
And now I found out I'm anemic.
Have you been bleeding a lot?
Completely.
Well, but that's, if you're not taking iron, you're bleeding a lot.
I take iron. I take a lot of it.
Well, how much are you taking?
65 milligrams elemental.
Okay, that's not a lot of iron. You need to take 325 2 to 3 times a day.
Huh.
And it'll take several months with vitamin C before you'll restore your iron stores.
Okay. Because my physician wanted me to get on birth control.
That's good. You need to stop that bleeding.
Yeah, but my OB says no.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then his alternative was a hysterectomy.
Well.
And I'm nervous about that.
Well, that's a big price to pay, right? Do they think that your fertility is already severely compromised by the leaps?
Yeah.
Is there any possibility of having a pregnancy?
He said that they'd have to, like, literally sew me, I guess.
Right, it's called a cerclage.
Right.
But does he think that would be successful?
Not that he knows of.
So he thinks there's no chance of you having pregnancy?
Not without some severe complications.
So he's advising you not to get pregnant?
Right.
And go ahead and get a hysterectomy?
Right, and then my fear is being anemic and getting it done, too.
the anemia is a nothing. Okay. At 27, it is a zero.
Okay.
Not unless your hemoglobin is under 9.
No, my hemoglobin, the last time I got it checked, my hematocrit was 12 and my...
Your hemoglobin was 12. That's nearly normal. Look, that is a non-issue for you.
Okay.
So if it's time to get a hysterectomy, you've had repeated episodes of cancer, not a possibility for fertility. I just hate that idea. I might, if I were you, consult with a fertility specialist before I went ahead with this, if pregnancy is an important thing to you, because there's no coming back from that.
No, I know.
I know. All right.
Okay.
I'm sorry you went through all that. That's all. Did you have warts? Is that what got it going?
No, I got dysplasia.
But that's the wart virus that causes that.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You might ask him about that just to see if that was part of the thing. So, all right, Heather, I'm sorry, but sounds like you're on top of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So, Matt Adams not here. Good times. All right, this is, God, these are heavy calls, guys. Guys? Heavy-duty calls. We need something a little bit lighter. Brad, 18.
Yeah, my girlfriend and I, we've been dating each other for a little bit over a year, actually. It's been going very well. And as far as things go physically, we had been doing pretty much everything but sex itself, oral sex included. But probably about 2.5 weeks ago now, she decided, for reasons religious and that she just didn't want to disappoint her parents, that she wanted to take a major step back. And, you know, now all we really do is kiss, which...
Brad, I'm having trouble tracking for some reason. You having sex with this woman?
No, everything but sex we did.
Including oral sex, though.
Mm-hmm.
And she is not so into the relationship or pulling away from it because of religious reasons?
No, just the physical part, religious reasons, she didn't want to do anymore.
She didn't want to have sex or didn't want to have oral sex?
Didn't want to have oral sex.
Okay, but that doesn't mean
like
not
that.
Wanting to have physical relationship doesn't mean not wanting to have a relationship. So how did it go to not wanting to have a relationship?
Oh, well, I must have said wrong. I'm sorry. But...
So she wants to maintain the relationship, just nothing physical.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And truth is, I have no problem with that. You know,
right.
I don't want to disrespect it or anything.
Right. What's your question?
Well, since that happened, I've been finding myself more and more attracted to other girls.
Well, you're 18, and that's kind of normal. You need to decide if you can change your goals in the relationship, if you can be okay with not having a physical relationship with someone you care very much about, if you need to explore some more of the physical aspect of your relationships with women, then this relationship may not be what you want. And the whole thing is kind of suspicious that she's pulling back because of religious reasons. I don't know. I have to wonder if she's as into this relationship as you are anyway. Steve, 28.
Yeah, I've been dating this girl for about 2 months.
Yeah.
And the other day, she told me she has bone cancer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's had it for, I guess, about 5 years.
Yeah.
It started in, she had a tumor in her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then a reoccurrence somewhere else. They've had, she had an operation to remove both of those. And then last year, another recurrence in her hip where she had...
How long have you been dating her?
About 2 months.
And she had not told you until recently?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah.
So what's up?
So, I mean, it was really hard to talk to her about it. You know, it was like a big thing for me to deal with when she told me. So I'm just wondering, you know, is she going to die? You know, with that much recurrence in 5 years, what do you think?
It's doesn't sound good. What kind of bone cancer is it?
I don't know.
There's many different kinds. You might want to get a diagnosis and then kind of look it up on the web and see what the prognosis is and the duration, what kinds of treatments are available for someone who's already had.
Probably not good.
Bone cancer can be pretty bad. Yeah. But there's some that are treatable. Again, it depends.
Wow.
You need to... How old is she?
She's
She's 27.
Certainly, she doesn't need to be abandoned at a time like this, you know?
Yeah, I know.
But cancer, you know, is not a good thing, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how's that for a sophisticated point of view? But the fact is, bone cancers can be treated, they can be palliated, but they can be awful, too. So, I would find out more about get the name for it and then look it up, because until you know what you're dealing with, it's hard to speculate about how it's gonna go. Michael, 20.
Hey, Dr.
Hey, Drew? Hey, Michael, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? I got a question. I guess it can lighten up things a little bit here.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it's really serious, too. I was wondering about female orgasms and what...
That is serious. That is serious stuff. That's more important than the bone cancer. Go ahead.
It definitely is.
Yeah, of course.
I was wondering what type of fluid is it, and can you get sick if you get some in your mouth somehow?
You might be... Some people might be sickened, but it's not going to make you ill. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing medically wrong with it. And it's basically just glandular secretions, the same stuff that's in everything else that's keeping things moist down there.
Yeah.
And most women don't have that ejaculation. Only some lucky types do.
I guess I'm lucky then.
You're able to produce something. Are you getting sort of rained upon?
It's a lot of it. I don't know what it is, but a lot comes
out. Yeah, women that do it, they're always struck by how much. They believe they've emptied their bladder or something because it's so much.
That's what I thought too. I thought she was like peeing, but then she said no. It felt like a bucket on the edge, and then it just tipped over and it just all came out.
On the edge.
It was like a bucket. It could have probably damn near filled a bucket.
And one time it got in your mouth.
Like a little bit.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Now your mouth was already there anyway. What do you think the probability is that that extra little push is going to put something terrible into you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's the risks of sexually transmitted diseases and things. Is this somebody you've been with for a long time?
Yeah, 4 years.
All right. And she's been doing this all this time?
No, just 2 days ago.
The first time?
Yeah.
And was she surprised?
Yeah, definitely.
Was that the first time? Was that the first time she's had an orgasm?
Yeah, or the real one.
The real one.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah, that was good times, though.
Yeah, it sounds like it, Michael. That's good times. So, anything else? Okay, congratulations. Enjoy.
Thanks, Dr. Drew.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right,
bye. Oh, yeah. Good times. We'll be right back. Love Line, welcome back. Dr. Drew here. Adam Carolla not here. I'm happy. Yes, indeed. And let's look around here for a good call. Let's see. This now is Melody. She's 20. Melody?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay.
Yeah.
First, Grouch is really calm without Adam.
What is?
The show's really calm without Adam.
Calm. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a really good thing.
Thank you. It's not so much that it's calm, it's that it's... Yeah. Not so much that it's calm, it's that it's not hostile. Can we drop in a couple of those, just those vehement comments by Adam so I can get a sense of what it would be like if you were here? No, hang on a second.
Just keep it clean and...
No.
Go ahead and pimp them hoes. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
No.
I'm such an idiot.
There we go. Get warm.
How dare you?
One more.
You know I hate doctors.
Okay. All right. I feel better now.
Okay, ready? Right.
Okay, go.
Okay. My boyfriend is 47, and I'm
47?
You stinking whore.
Yeah.
47. I'm not a whore.
No, Melody, that wasn't me. 47.
He's 47.
Damn, bitch.
He's about as old as Adam and I combined.
Well,
you're 20. Okay. What is up with that?
My dad was never around.
Okay, well, at least you know what it's about.
Yeah,
all
I
right,
know.
Fair enough. My concern is, though, do you want to have a family?
I do. My first question.
Does he have kids?
He has 4 children.
There's no way he's going to have more kids. No way. He's done.
No, he wants to.
Oh, please. And if he does, let's say you get married next year. Yeah. Let's say he reverses his vasectomy. And within 2 years, you have a child. He will be 50. So when that child is 16, he'll be 66.
I know.
My dad was 51 when my little sister was born.
Relax. I'm not talking to you.
52.
See? I mean, I was just wondering how, successful the reversals are because he's had a vasectomy.
You know, I think it depends on what the procedure was, what kind of, technically what the procedure was he had done. Mm-hmm. And no vasectomy is completely reversible. Uh-huh. And most of them, I believe there is some substantial difficulty in reversing them, but it's not impossible in many cases. I cannot give you a number off the top of my head.
Okay, and I have a second question.
Yeah.
Before this boyfriend, I had another boyfriend that was 40, and we were together for about 2 years.
Just, you're into people, Adam and my age.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I think Adam's extremely attractive.
That is so scary, Mel. You need years of therapy.
No, but I haven't had that many sexual partners, less than five, and they've all been older, but just about a month ago, I noticed a tiny bump on the surface of my vagina on the, it's not on the inside, it's just right on the surface, and it was just a small bump, and then it just started getting bigger and becoming more painful, and
is it a smooth sort of growth under the skin?
Right.
Yeah, that's a Bartholin cyst, usually.
Okay, but today I noticed that there was a little bit of blood on my panties right where the bump was, and
it probably ruptured. Does it feel better now?
It feels better. It doesn't hurt. And it's sort of nice and flat the way it used to be.
Yeah, so it ruptured. That's what happens. They come up and they rupture, and then that's the end of it.
But, okay, so it's not anything that I should worry about. It's not like an STD. Hopefully, no. I mean, should I still go get checked?
Yeah, just to make sure. Again, I'm trying to sort of decipher what it is from what you're telling me, but it really does sound like a Bartholin cyst. And, they swell up, they can get painful, they need antibiotics sometimes, they have to be drained sometimes, but sometimes they rupture spontaneously, and that's what happened with you. This now is Walt, 27.
Hi.
Hey.
Neat to talk to you.
All right.
I just called. I'm tired of listening to all these guys that are getting married, and then they can't handle spending time with their wives.
Right.
Like this guy that called at the beginning of the show and going out with his dad.
Right.
Can't take his wife with him.
Right.
What a pansy.
Yeah.
I take my wife out every week, and, the dating doesn't stop when you say I do. You can't
you pansy.
Just be on board.
If it does, you'd be in big-ass trouble. Your wife will let you know. Women have a good sense of what relationships need, and this sort of spending time face to face and talking and quiet time away from everything is important for relationships. And as males, we don't really kind of understand that very well. But it sounds like you do. You do, Walt. Anyway.
Well, it's been a long 5 years learning that. Let me tell you.
Oh, really? So you had to be sort of tamed and trained, right?
Well, counseling and everything else.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Well, you were sort of up on a high horse there, yelling at all these guys that didn't know so much about this.
I've been through this. There's no high horse here.
It takes a while to figure that out, doesn't it? And relationships need attention. They need nurturing. And I don't know, as males, we just don't, we don't know that. We don't pay attention to that. And when a partner starts complaining about it, we just think they're being a pain in the butt. We don't think that they are talking about the health of the relationship and the fact that if we don't attend to it, the relationship will probably have trouble or fall apart.
Well, yeah, it's bad because we think on it from a different level. Women think different from men. And
absolutely.
If you can't try and listen to each other, it works both ways.
Yes. Yes, it does.
A lot of time it's a guy trying to go out and keep his old lifestyle, and you've got to fit her into your life instead of alienating her.
Yep. So. Well, all right, good. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. This is Carlos, 17.
Yeah.
Dude.
My girlfriend, I don't know, what's wrong. I don't know if it's me or if it's her, but she's never had an orgasm. We've been together for about a year.
How old is she?
She's 16.
Okay. Most 16-year-olds cannot orgasm. And if they can at all, it's only during oral sex.
Uh-huh, so it's not...
It's not you. Not you, Carlos.
Oral sex better than, sex.
Say that again, what?
She says she likes oral sex better.
That would be essentially everyone, all women, and certainly women under 22. Because most of them can only orgasm with oral sex. Many of them can't orgasm at all.
Uh-huh.
And particularly at 16, 17, 18, it's very difficult for them to have an orgasm. It seems
so,
as though
I shouldn't worry about it. It's not anything.
Well, of course, not Carlos. It has nothing to do with Carlos.
Well, I thought it was
it may have something to do with you. Well, it may have something to do from the standpoint that you don't know what the F you're doing when it comes to oral sex, and you have to let her teach you and guide you and give you some help with that, if indeed, because that will be the only way that she is going to have an orgasm. This now is Rain, 16. Rain.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Cool.
Dude.
I was just wondering what the consensual sex age is between minors, if there is one.
What state are you in? Hang on, I'm getting the book here. Ugh.
Washington.
State of Washington.
It's 16 up there.
16 in Washington, apparently.
Oh, really?
How do you know that? Anderson says.
Because I go up there all the time.
Anderson goes up there because the age of consent is 16. So there you go.
No, actually, I go to Hawaii because it's 14.
Oh, good times. That's nice. Anderson, you scare me. The more I learn about you, the more I'm frightened I get to be in the same room with you. But, yeah, Rain, so I guess it's 16.
Okay, because, you know, my dad is threatening to take my boyfriend to court for statutory rape, and I don't want him hurt in any way. And
are you having sex with him?
Yes.
Oh, boy. And your dad knows that?
He kind of found out.
Oh, my God. Well, can you guys kind of cool it and kind of, you know, not be so much in front of your dad? And
well, no, I didn't do anything in front of my dad.
No, I don't mean have sex in front of your dad. I mean, can the relationship be so not so much in his face? You know what I mean? Just sort of back at school or somehow not something that's so upsetting to him?
Well, you know, because I got a bladder infection.
Oh, my God. Where's your mom?
And
where is your mom?
Right now?
I mean, how did your
mother?
Your whoever you consider your mom, why isn't she helping you with this? Dad is freaking out. Can mom help you?
Totally agrees with my dad. She wants to take my boyfriend to court.
Unfortunately, there may be things other than consent issues here. There's things like contributing to the delinquency of minors, and there are other kinds of problems he can get himself into. It says here he's 18, and as such, there could be other issues. So it is real. It's not something that you should just blow off. And by the way, your parents are trying to look out for your best interests. It sounds like they're freaking out a bit, but listen to what they have to say. Maybe there's a good reason for them having the concerns they're having. Maybe there's something about your boyfriend that you don't see. Speaking of that, we'll be right back. Well, that about does it. Thank you, those of you that participated. Thank you for those of you that just listened. Thank you for letting me kind of break it out once in a while without Adam and get through a bunch of calls and actually help some people once in a while. Oh, I feel so much better now. Well, he'll be back tomorrow. And until that time, on his behalf, this is Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
How tall are you?
I'm like 5'12". Almost 6".
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.